John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, Jesus said this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." When I was in fifth grade, I had the opportunity to be in a school play. And by opportunity, I mean I was required to be in a school play because everyone had to be in it. And for some reason, I got talked into going out for the role of father, which all the guys wanted to be father in this play. So I thought, hey, I'll give it a shot. Now, unknown to me at the time, and it was a bit unfortunate that in order to play the role of father, you had to audition. You had to sing a solo. And then you had to audition. And again, it really wasn't an audition because everybody had to be in the play. It was more like a way to filter out the people who could sing from those who, you know, maybe not so much. And so I had never sung in public before, definitely never into a microphone. I don't think anybody wants that to this day. I don't sing well at all. And just to top it off, I found out right before my time was that it was a cappella, which means there was no music underneath. Just me and a microphone. So finally, my time had come. I remember this so vividly. I stepped up to the mic, and over here was Mrs. Ladd, our music teacher. It was Mr. Walker, my homeroom teacher, and there were some other adults around. And the song we had to sing was this song, this old song called "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" I don't know if you have heard this song. It's not, you know, not a fifth grade boy's favorite, I'll put it that way. And it was one of those times that I remember as I began to sing, you know, by about the third or fourth word, I could tell it wasn't going real well. The sounds coming out of my mouth, it wasn't good. It was this, like, I remember it was this high-pitched screech kind of a sound. I don't know. I was trying to think of a way to describe it, and the only thing I could come up with was imagine like a velociraptor, like a dinosaur. If it got hit in the knees with a baseball bat, the sound it would make, that's in the neighborhood of what was coming out of my mouth. I kid you not, my music teacher, Mrs. Ladd, did this. She made that face. Not good. I wasn't oozing with confidence. I fought my way through it, but basically just utter defeat came over my face and my life in general, and it was at that moment I knew singing wasn't for me, wasn't my thing. And here's the deal. In that moment, honestly, I was devastated. I was crushed. And it wasn't so much that my singing was terrible and embarrassing, but really I was crushed and devastated because I was just embarrassed because I had just been humiliated. I had humiliated myself, I guess. It's one of those times where I wanted to just like shrivel up, disappear, and hide. You ever had a moment like that? That was me. Now, maybe you didn't try out for the role of father in the school play, but I bet you can relate to this. I bet you've had a time where you felt embarrassed or humiliated. You know, maybe you posted something on a social media account that you thought was hilarious, and then a couple hours later, you're like, ooh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. It's still hilarious, but not good. You know, I need to take that back. I need to take that down. Maybe Someone's lashed out at you at work. Maybe a boss or a coworker said something to you and you said something back. Maybe you shouldn't have. And later on, you're like, I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. You know, maybe there's a sin in your life that you keep going back to again and again and again. And in those moments where you're alone and you're reflective, you're just like, why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep doing that? You know, for some of us, maybe it's at home. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or your parents that belittle you or hurt you and constantly make you feel dumb or inadequate. If we were honest, I think everybody in this room would admit that sometimes you felt that way. We all have that in common. And here's the thing, even at church, we can feel that. We can feel that way when it comes to our relationship with God. It can happen when you bring God into the mix. I think that's one reason some of us get nervous about praying out loud. You know, maybe we don't want to pray. We get nervous because when I pray out loud, I know the things about me that God knows about me. And I'm embarrassed of who I really am. You know, I think some people, you know, there's a deal where some people don't even want to come to church. It's like the moment they walk in the door, you know, we're reminded of who we really are when we're not here. We're confronted with that. And we don't like that about ourselves. We're embarrassed. And we don't like feeling that way. We feel guilty. And it's just easier to stay at home, honestly. So the question is it supposed to be that way? You know, am I supposed to feel about God the way I feel about my boss at work that just rides me about how I need to do better? No, you know, absolutely not. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's not a part of God's plan. Now, the good news is, not only is that, you know, God does not feel that way about you, but I would say he went above and beyond to make it clear to us that he doesn't feel that way about us. God completely destroyed that. And in order to remove that thought, he sent his son Jesus to show us and to tell us what he really thinks about us and what he really believes about us. And when Jesus talks about the Father, we need to lean in and we need to pay attention because he's speaking truth and he knows what he's talking about. So we come to the book of John, where we're going to be tonight. And in the book of John here in chapter 10, we find Jesus talking to a group of religious leaders, the Pharisees. We talked about these guys last Sunday night, if you were here with us. And these guys, these Pharisees, they studied the law. They had memorized the law since they were boys. They knew the laws of God inside and out. They were obsessed with not only knowing the rules, but obeying the rules. And they thought, if I do the right thing and don't do the wrong thing, and if I hang out with the right people and don't hang out with the wrong people, that God will approve of me. And if I mess any of that up, God's going to be really angry and judge me. Because after all, God is the judge. That's a snapshot of their belief system. But when Jesus showed up, he talked in a way about God that the Pharisees had never heard before. And Jesus, he shares the truth about himself here in John 10. He calls himself several times in this passage, the good shepherd. Again, John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, we read that today here in Midtown Manhattan, and, you know, it's tempting to be like, what? You know, shepherds really aren't that common in our culture today. I really doubt many of you passed a shepherd on your way in to the worship service tonight. But at this time, this would have really resonated with those who heard what Jesus said. They knew a lot about shepherds. They knew a lot about sheep as well. And here's the thing with sheep. They're not smart. They're not even close to smart. They're ridiculously dumb. They're prone to wonder. They're vulnerable. The shepherd has to watch them, not only to protect them, but to feed them and to lead them to water. Sheep don't even take care of themselves physically. They knew that the sheep counted on the shepherd for protection, for direction, for provision, and for security. And when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," in John 10:11, he's saying he is that for us as his followers. Now, sheep, when they're in danger, they don't even run away. The shepherd would have to run to them and handle that situation so that they would be okay. In other words, people, they knew that sheep were pros at being vulnerable and being exposed. And the truth is, the only difference between those sheep and us is that we feel it when we're that way. Now, Jesus, he's telling his listeners that he's there to look out for them. He won't see their troubles and run away. He's the good shepherd. In hard times, when they need a shepherd, when we need a shepherd, not only is he there, but he runs to be with us in the midst of our trouble. Now, shepherds, they weren't just people who waited around for time to pass. As I was thinking about what shepherds did, I thought, yeah, these guys, they just kind of like hang out outside and watch sheep. You know, sounds kind of boring to me. But actually, being a shepherd was a very active profession. They were actually very busy. In the Old Testament, probably the most famous shepherd is David. And he told a story in 1 Samuel 17. With David and Goliath, where he defeated a lion and a bear, which is crazy, by the way, if you think about that. A young boy, a young shepherd, defeating a lion and a bear in order to protect his sheep. Shepherds weren't just guys who hung out and watched sheep. They were like security guards / secret service / ninjas, you know, and they would do whatever it took to protect their sheep. So basically here in this passage, Jesus is saying, "I am that for you. No matter what happens, I'm there for you and I'm with you." Even in those moments where we're hurting, we feel exposed, we feel vulnerable, where we've blown it, where we feel like everyone is against us. Praise God, we have a good shepherd who is there with us. Now, back at this time, small villages, they would often create these communal flocks, and they would employ a hired hand to watch the sheep. But a lot of times, this employee lacked the true commitment of a true shepherd. The wilderness of Judea had many predators. And whenever a wolf or other predators attacked the hired hand, he would run. He would get out of there and protect himself rather than defend the sheep. And Jesus says that he won't do this. He will never do this. He will always stand between his sheep and danger. In fact, he says in verses 11 through 13 and again in 17 through 18 that he lays down his life for the sheep. In verse 12, Jesus said, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." I love how Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. He stands between his sheep in danger. He protects us. Jesus goes on to say in John 10:29, later on in this passage, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands." In other words, if Jesus is the good shepherd, if you've made him your good shepherd, then you're in good hands. This is the kind of relationship that Jesus wants with you. He doesn't get hung up on how good we are or how bad we are. We are deeply loved exactly as we are. It's called grace. And it's a gift that's there for you to receive through Christ. The truth is, you can never be good enough, and neither can I, even on our best days. But the good news is also, even on our worst days, even the days we're struggling the most, we're deeply loved by our Heavenly Father, by the Good Shepherd. We can never be good enough on our own. We can never be holy enough in our own power or strength to earn the love or the approval of God. It only comes through receiving His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And honestly, the good news is that takes all the pressure off. I want you to know tonight you are deeply loved by your Heavenly Father. The Good Shepherd loves you, and He runs to you in your time of being exposed, your time of embarrassment, your shame, your guilt. He's there. Jesus isn't ashamed of you in those times. He runs to be with you. Now, this doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you because we have a good shepherd. Sheep can still get stuck or injured, but the good news is the shepherd is there to take care of the sheep. And if you're a sheep with that kind of shepherd, that's great news. And that's our shepherd. Jesus is always with us. He's going to go the farthest lengths possible, whatever it takes, to make sure that we know He loves us. In this passage, He says that the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Not only did Jesus say that, but He did that. We should never doubt that God loves us. I know there can be a temptation at times when life gets hard. Maybe trials come, maybe difficult things happen, to think, where is God? Has God forgotten about me? Does God love me? Does God even care? I want to answer that for you tonight. You are deeply loved. He doesn't just say it. He showed it through the greatest gift of all, His Son, Jesus Christ. You're deeply loved by the Good Shepherd. And He wants to know you in a personal way. Verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus wants that intimate relationship with you. He doesn't want you to just meet Him, but He wants to know you deeply, to know you more and more. It reminds me of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where he says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. And I read that and I think, know Him? I mean, I thought he knew Him. If anybody knew Jesus, it would be Paul, right? I mean, all the things he endured, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. I want to know Him. But when you look at that deeply, in the original language, in the Greek, what Paul is saying is, I want to know Him more and more and more. I want to continue to know Him. I want to know Him intimately and deeply. And that's the same sort of language Jesus is saying here that He wants for us. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus wants you to have a personal, intimate, vibrant relationship with Him, a love relationship with the Good Shepherd. So with the big stuff in life and the little stuff in life, Jesus can handle it. If Jesus is our good shepherd, we know that we don't have it all together, and that's okay, because we're deeply loved. In fact, as His sheep, we really only have one job, and that's to stay close to the shepherd. So when we feel afraid, we need to walk a little closer to the shepherd. And when we feel lost, we need to call out to the shepherd. When we feel stuck, we need to reach out and get help from the good shepherd. And when we feel attacked, embarrassed, discouraged, or rejected, we go to the shepherd and we stay there, because when we stay close to the shepherd, we're in good hands. So as we close tonight, I have something I want you to think about. What's one area of your life that you need to turn over to the good shepherd? What's one area of your life you need to turn over to the good shepherd? For some of you, you know, maybe it begins with receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never taken that step. You know, it's not enough to just know things about Jesus. Even Satan knows about Jesus. Even Satan knows Jesus died on the cross. Like, that's not enough. We have to have this relationship with him, to receive him as our Lord and Savior, to believe in him. And that belief is more than just an agreement with fact. It's a belief that changes everything. For some of you, maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never taken that step. That's a life-changing thing. You can do that tonight. I'd love to visit with you after the service and help you nail that down so you can have your sin forgiven and you can know for certain that you'll go to heaven one day when you die. Others of you in here, maybe you're not sure. You're like, yeah, I think I've done that, but I don't know. If you're having any doubts about your salvation, I'd love to visit with you about that. And again, we can get that nailed down tonight. Others of you in here, maybe you have taken that step. You received the Lord. You have a relationship with him, and you're walking with him. But maybe there's an area in your life where you struggle. And maybe it's something we've talked about tonight, maybe it's not. But as I've been sharing tonight, it's been playing over and over in your mind. What's that area of your life that you need to turn over to the Good Shepherd and to trust him? I want to encourage you to do that tonight. And that looks like this, simply giving it to him, laying it at his feet, and then trusting him with that. The good news is that Jesus can handle anything that comes our way, but we have to let him. We have to give it to him. He's good, he's trustworthy, and he wants you to know him. He's the good shepherd. I encourage you to trust the good shepherd with all of your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you are with us. Lord, thank you for your son, the good shepherd, who doesn't leave us when we're hurting, as we're trying to figure out how to move forward in life. At times, we struggle. We feel embarrassed or hurt or alone. We feel like a failure. Lord, thank you that you never leave us. Thank you that you are there with us. Father, I pray for those in this room tonight who need to lay something at your feet, who need to turn something over to the Good Shepherd. Lord, that they would take that step tonight to do that, to surrender that to you. Lord, thank you that we're in good hands when we're in your hands. Lord, you're more than able to take care of anything that happens to us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.